Well, we're looking at a story of night shift workers. Have you ever done night shift on a regular basis? I worked at Salvoke Hairline for a number of years, for 3 years in fact. I did 2 years as the paid day shift counsellor, and then I did 1 year, 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. And you might be good at being a night shift worker. I was really hopeless. At night shift, there are a few of us on night shift, and come about 3 a.m, if the phones were quiet, they'd turn off, my co-workers would turn off the main light, and they'd just put those little lamps on. And, you know, when the phones weren't ringing, and I'd start to nod off, and I'd feel terrible about it. Now, there were some workers in that situation who'd grab a blanket, they'd grab a pillow, and they'd kind of make themselves comfy on the lounge. But I was like, no, this is work, and I have to work, and I can't go to sleep. I mustn't go to sleep. And my eyes would start to close, and my head would nod, and this is what would happen eventually while I'm sitting in my chair. I'd be like this. And I'd have these terrible, tortured dreams. I'd have these terrible, tortured dreams where the boss would come in while I was sleeping and I couldn't wake up. It was like I was trying to get out of sleep. I was trying to come out of my dream and I couldn't. It was like my subconscious was telling me, Robin, wake up, you're not meant to be asleep. But today, we're looking at Simon and his co-workers. They were night shift workers and I reckon they would have been pretty practiced at it. I imagine it would have been hard physical work, and unlike me, I think it would have been easy for them to keep their focus all night. Simon and the others had been fishing all night in our story. That's a long time. I wonder if they always did that. I suspect they would have stayed out as long as it took to make a living, but returning with nothing was not good news. No fish equals no income to feed the family. They wouldn't have been in a good mood. They left their boats in shallow water and started the familiar routine that was part of being a fisherman, cleaning up after the shift. They wouldn't have even needed to speak to one another. They knew what each person did. They'd been doing this since they were tiny. One person cleaning the nets, another person mending the nets, another person taking the fish out of the hull of the boat. Maybe someone would have usually cleaned the fish. I reckon that after staying out as long as possible to make a living and being unsuccessful, there would have been mutual silence. You know that silence when things are not good and really by consensus everyone agrees that there's nothing left to be said. In their weariness and annoyance at the futility of the night, they would have barely registered that Jesus was coming over to where they were, and with Jesus was a large crowd. Now, Simon and his friends hadn't met Jesus at this point, but that all changed pretty quickly when Jesus chose one of their boats to step into. After a long, frustrating, fruitless night, Jesus and the crowd have descended upon them. They may think that their day is going from bad to worse, but that's the great thing with Jesus. You can never anticipate the end of the story. A bad day can become the very best day. Now, Jesus hops into the boat and doesn't miss a beat. He just keeps teaching. It's Simon's boat, so Simon hopped into the boat, as you would if a stranger hopped into your car. And in his head, though, I reckon Simon's probably just chilled out, going through the night, thinking about where are the fish running? Where can we go tomorrow night? What did we miss? What didn't we see? Until the scripture says in Luke 5, verse 4, when he, Jesus, had stopped speaking, he said to Simon. Now there's Simon, a captive audience in the boat. And Jesus moves from teaching the crowd to interacting with the individual. I wonder, does that happen to you? I'll be listening to someone preaching or teaching, and sometimes I might be at the place just because I'm transport for someone else. And, you know, I'm kind of just not really listening. Maybe I'm tuned in a bit. I'm just part of the crowd when suddenly I hear something and I know that that's just for me. Jolted out of my complacency, I know that this is exactly the right time for me to be here. And there's maybe a challenge to the way I think, or maybe the Holy Spirit seems to be saying, Robin, I'm speaking to you. And it's like Jesus stops teaching the crowd in general and addresses me directly. And perhaps it's happened sometime for you, just when you think it's safe. We can be thinking that the sermon that day doesn't relate to us. We can be thinking that it's definitely meant to be for someone else in the crowd. And then Jesus turns up and you know that his word is just for you. That's the way God works in our lives. He may teach the crowd, but there is always a point at which he addresses the individual. That's the truth. You hang around Jesus and at some point he's going to say something to you. You might be just hanging around for the good morning tea. Remember those times back pre-COVID when there was morning tea? Yeah, good times. But you may be hanging around for good morning tea or for great music or fantastic friendships. It may be that being in the Salvos is what you've known. It's a habit. But you hang around long enough and Jesus will look at you directly and you'll know it. This seems to be quite common, and if you've grown up in the church, you might be there for friendship, as I was when I was a teenager. There was a time, when I would just go along to church and to the youth group. I had great friends. But there was a time when I realised for the first time that I could have an individual relationship with God. That made all the difference. The friendships kept me there for a time. But then Jesus spoke to me. Now, reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 5, in the Amplified Version, it says, Jesus turned to Simon and said, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish. Simon replied, Master, we worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion and caught nothing in our nets. But at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again. Gosh, you can't help but admire Simon. And there's some tips for us here, some things I love. Firstly, I admire his honesty with Jesus. He's completely honest about how he feels and what he thinks. He says, Jesus, I'm tired. I've worked hard. We've done this before. I don't think it's going to work. There's nothing out there, not a bite, not a nibble. I wonder, how honest are you with God? Actually, perhaps the question is not how honest are you with God, or even how dishonest are you, but actually, do you communicate your feelings with God, how you're feeling? This may seem like an odd idea, but the Bible is full of people who tell God how they're really going, and they don't hold anything back. Moses didn't want to go and set the Israelites free, and he told God all about his concerns about public speaking. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, cried out to God, asking God to take the cup of suffering from him. Do you know, all through the Psalms, we hear the psalmist crying out to God, telling God exactly how he's feeling. Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. That's what the psalmist is telling God. And the Bible shows us that talking to God honestly, speaking to God about how you're feeling, is normal. That's normal. It's what we're meant to do. I suppose some of us suffer in silence, believing that God's not interested or that he's got bigger, you know, issues on his plate, you know, like COVID-19. But next time you think that, remember that the Bible is full of people being honest with God. And that's how we're made. That's what God actually wants from us. So Simon is honest. Secondly, I admire his willingness just to say yes. It went against logic and common sense to go back out, but he made a decision. He made a decision to act on what Jesus was saying to him. When Jesus asked Simon to take the boat into deep water, his response was, "We fished all night and caught nothing, but because you asked, I'll do it." You know, Simon's a professional fisherman. He's been doing this all his life, as his father had before him. Since he was a kid, he's been fishing. He knows this lake like the back of his hand. He knows the fish. He's been feeding the whole village with his fish for decades. And along comes a carpenter. No disrespect to carpenters, but Jesus has worked with wood all his life, and Peter has worked with fish. Look, I happen to know a carpenter who's a very good fisherman. Shout out to Luke. He's good at both. But you see what I'm getting at? Simon could have just shaken his head and thought, "Actually, Jesus, what would you know about what I'm trying to do here?" But instead, he said, "I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't even think it's a good idea. But because you ask, I'll do it." It's funny. When you hear people talk about the call to Salvation Army officership, they often say, you know, "Lord, I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't even think it's a good idea. But because you say, I'll do it." Now, as an aside, that wasn't my story. I was skipping all the way to college. Couldn't wait. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't even think it's a good idea. But because you ask, I'll do it. I wonder how long since you've said that to God. "Because you want me to do it, I'll do it." I wonder if you've been living on just your ideas of where you thought your life should go for the last 20 years. How long since you've thought, "God wants me to do this, so even though it's tough and it'll be difficult, I'm going to do it." Simon's life was about to change forever as he took his boat from the shallows and out into the deeper water. And he grabbed those oars. He, you know, Jesus was with him, grabbed those oars and made his way out into the deep water. Going from shallow water to deep water involves a decision and then action. Who knows what launching out into deep water will mean for you? Staying in the shallow water is easy. You can coast along and you can hop out if you need to, because you just rely on yourself. But when Jesus asks us to go out into the deep water, it's a commitment. There's no hopping in and out of the boat there, out in the deep water. And it may be risky, but Jesus will remain with us and will know that we have to rely on him. It means being in a place where we have to trust God for the outcome. This week I spoke with someone who is just about to set up some house churches. And I talked to him about some of the plans. And he said, "Oh, are we ready?" "No, of course not." He said, "Actually, we'll never be completely ready." But actually said, "We've got to do it. This is what God has asked us to do. We're ready to launch and we'll start." Saying yes and going out into the deep water will mean different things for each person. It might mean taking on other responsibilities or roles, and you might be thinking about a new job. It might mean making a new commitment to volunteering or being part of a small group. It might mean committing more of your finances to the core or to another charity. You might say to God, I feel that you want me to start a Bible study. I don't feel like doing it, God. Sometimes I don't even want to do it because the easy thing is to do nothing. But actually, God, because you want me to start a Bible study, I'll start it. It might be daily decisions. There's hundreds of them. Like when a person's name comes to mind and you have that fleeting thought, I should contact them. Some days, like Simon, you've already had a shocker of a day and your head says, I don't feel like contacting them and I don't want to contact them. But you never know the outcome of saying yes to God. So please always follow those thoughts up with, but because you ask, I'll do it. In fact, we're going to practice right now and say this out loud. I know. Is there anyone sitting around you? You can all say it together so you don't feel weird. Or you can say it by yourself wherever you are. Now, I'll tell you what we're going to say is, I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. But because you ask God, I'll do it. Are you ready? Okay, say it with me. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. But because you ask God, I'll do it. Now, I've neglected to say that Simon found the catch of a lifetime right where Jesus directed him to go. Saying yes to Jesus turned Simon's worst fishing day into his best fishing day and was the beginning of a life-changing friendship with Jesus. Simon learned that day that it's okay to be honest with Jesus, and he learned that willingness to say yes to Jesus is always the best idea. We'll never see the whole picture when we say yes to God. We'll never know how God is going to use us or what the outcome of our yes will be. But for Simon, it was the beginning of a life lived for the purposes of God, a life of fulfillment. You know, there was difficulty for sure for Simon, but it led to a life of healing and forgiveness, thriving, peace. And it led to a life where God continued to direct him and go before him. It led to a life where he saw incredible miracles. It led to a life that was beyond himself and his own issues and family and friends and village. When you say yes to God, you never know where it will lead you or how God will impact others through your obedience. Now, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, you see our hearts and you know us. You know the plans and purposes that you have for us. You know the plans and purposes that you have for our community. And Lord, we think of the thousands of people who don't know you. Thousands of people who don't know the forgiveness and the freedom and the hope, the sense of belonging. Thousands of people who don't know the thriving that can be found in you. So, Lord, I pray for each person today. I pray, Lord, that regardless of how we're feeling and what we're thinking about your plans, I pray, Lord, that because you ask, we'll say yes to you. And even now, God, I pray that there will be something that you drop into people's minds. Maybe it's a person's name. Maybe it's a role. Maybe it's a way of volunteering. Maybe it's something to do with their finances. And I pray, God, that because you ask, we'll say yes. So, Lord, I thank you for your presence today, your peace and your power. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.